Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily. I'm Charles Feldman.
I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles. New variant has arrived. Omicron, first detected in South Africa, but it's since gone around the world. UN says the global risk is very high. President Biden says there's a reason for concern, but not panic. Is this really a super mutant variant or something we don't have to actually worry about?
Concern is growing that the variant could evade the vaccines, but how likely is that?
Travel restrictions imposed, but do those actually work?
And what about the COVID treatments coming out? Can they stop Omicron?
We start with the basics of the variant. Dr. Kartik Chandran is a virologist and microbiologist at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine. So, doctor, do you agree with the president? We shouldn't panic?
Yeah, I do agree with that. There's a lot of data coming in, really quite thick and fast now, but it doesn't add up to a clear picture yet in terms of how concerned we ought to be. So I think that statement, you know, be concerned, but don't panic, is well calibrated. Even from a scientific standpoint, because even a scientist would really try and understand the implications, and it will not be clear for a few weeks at least.
Okay. And what is starting off the concern? Because we've had other variants. We've had Mu, we've had Delta Plus, and we didn't do so much for all of those. So what makes this one maybe different?
Right. So the thing that's different about this, you know, relative to a lot of the other variants that we've seen so far, is just the degree to which it's mutated. So it has a lot more mutations than Delta even. And in fact, you know, its origin is somewhat different. We don't actually completely understand exactly where it came from. I mean, it didn't originate from Delta and become something else. You know, it's sort of a different evolutionary branch of the tree of this virus. So, you know, just the sheer number of mutations and diversity of mutations is greater than anything we've seen in the past. A number of the mutations in the spike protein, which is the main target of the monoclonal antibodies, for example, you know, really does suggest that, you know, this virus is more likely to be resistant to certain antibodies than any of the preceding variants. So that's really the source of the concern. The other piece of this is, the limited data that we have from South Africa so far really suggests that this virus may, and I stress the may part because we don't know for sure yet, but this virus may have a transmission advantage over existing variants, which would allow it to spread very rapidly through the population, just like Delta did, and kind of pushed away all, you know, sort of knocked out all the other viruses and sort of took over. So there is a possibility, based on the limited data we have so far from South Africa, that this could happen again.
Now, am I correct, doctor, that even if it is true that this virus can possibly spread with more efficiency. That is not necessarily the case that it will be a more severe or pernicious virus in the way it's manifested in people. Is that right?
Yes, that's totally true. We have no information right now about whether it's in the parlance of virology, more virulent, which means more likely to cause disease. We suspect that it's probably more transmissible, but that also is so far still just an educated guess. The virus could be more transmissible without being more disease causing or more likely to cause severe disease. Although it's also possible that both are true, and it's also possible the virus may cause less disease, right? Like, so we don't actually know, because ultimately when you look at it from the perspective of the virus's goal is to grow and spread. And causing severe disease in people that causes them to be hospitalized is really sort of a collateral effect of the virus infection. It doesn't really benefit the virus directly, because, you know, once a person's in at that level of illness, they're actually not shedding virus anymore. So as far as the virus is concerned, it's already hopped off to the next person. And whatever happens in the person that was already infected, you know, I'm personalizing the virus, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but
this sort of disease-causing potential of the virus could go in either direction, or it could stay the same.
Well, and that raises the question from an evolutionary point of view. Wouldn't it be the case that as a virus, any virus, as it mutates, isn't it then more likely, based on what you're just saying, that it would become more benign toward its human host?
So there is an idea that could be the case, and it certainly seems to play out that way sometimes. But there are many counterexamples to that idea, because, again, it really dips. What can happen is that the ability of the virus to cause disease can be directly connected to its ability to spread. And in those cases, you know, you do see those two coupled. But on the other hand, if the ability to spread and the ability to cause disease are sort of decoupled, then, you know, really anything could happen, right? Like, there are no real rules saying that the virus needs to become less virulent as it spreads from person to person if the virus can spread from person to person before anybody's really sick, right? What happens afterwards is, at some level, is not of any consequence to the virus.
Let me ask you a question, Doctor, that I've heard people in the past few days since the news of this variant has come out ask. The question is, are we going to potentially be back to where we were at the beginning of the pandemic? Yes, we've got treatments. Yes, we've got the vaccine. But if it turns out that this variant is significantly different and does evade the vaccines and does thwart whatever limited therapeutics that are now on the market or at least available, are we back to where we were?
Those are a lot of ifs. I would say that given that, you know, the vaccines work in multiple ways, not just with antibodies against the spike protein, I think it's very likely that, you know, it's possible, we'll know soon, hopefully, but it's possible we may see some degradation in protection with the vaccine. But again, you know, the main purpose of the vaccine is to protect people from severe illness and death. And I think it's likely that just as the vaccines, you know, which remember were made against the original strain of the virus going back to early 2020, they still protect people from hospitalization and death against Delta, right? So it's quite possible, if not likely, probably, I would say it's likely that, you know, we're still going to see considerable protection against Omicron, even, in the people that have been vaccinated already, especially if they're able to get boosted to boost their sort of levels of antibodies. So, again, that's the purpose of the vaccine. I think it'll still continue to work. We might lose some activity around the edges, but I think it's not like it's going to go to zero. As always, as has always been, you know, throughout, you know, pandemic, the biggest risk is to people that, you know, have not been exposed previously and now, you know, have not been vaccinated. So I think just to jump ahead, I think the most important thing people can do is to get vaccinated, and if they've already been vaccinated, to get boosted, because now boosters are available for all adults in the U.S. And that's, that's a lot in terms of you know, making sure that you can be protected against this virus. Even if statistically you have a higher chance of getting sick, you should still, you know, we shouldn't be back to, you know, the early surges in 2020 where we had no protection whatsoever.
Well, here's another if, since we're playing with the ifs, because that's all we can do for the next couple of weeks. What if this can't actually outcompete Delta? Like, is South Africa dealing with Delta the same way we are here? Because we've got Delta all over. So if this can't gain a foothold here because Delta's everywhere, then we're kind of in the same place we're in last week.
Yeah, I mean, that's another sort of if. But, you know, I think based on the, again, it's very limited, but the data that we have from South Africa does suggest that this virus may be able to outcompete Delta. So if that's the case, then we are going to see what we saw with Delta, which is that it's going to come in and do a sweep and essentially replace everything over a period of time. It's not going to happen instantaneously, but, you know, or it's possible that we'll see co-circulation of these two viruses. So, you know, sort of either option and anything in between is possible, you know, but again, based on the data from South Africa, you know, it seems more likely than not that we are going to see some sort of selective replacement again. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Again, you asked about drugs. You know, this does make a lot of antibodies potentially at risk in terms of not being able to work because they are very sensitive to spike mutations, depending on where they're located. However, there are also now other drugs that we have that are not targeting the spike protein, like molnupiravir, and these should continue to work. You know, so it's not that we don't have any. You know, even the worst case scenario, we would still have these drugs. Small molecule drugs that don't target the spike protein. And the goal then would be to try and scale these up. But of course, we now know that we can generate new versions of the vaccine quickly. So, you know, I believe the vaccine company is already gearing up to, you know, to
generating them and getting people to take them, of course, has proven to be two different things, right?
That's always that's, you know, so it's not really about what we have to offer, but whether people are willing to do it. And, you know, honestly, you know, the longer we go with large percentages of populations not being vaccinated, and, you know, we should note that most people who aren't vaccinated because they're not being offered, it's not available to them. It's, you know, it's not just vaccine refusal, but certainly that is something that's at play. And, you know, the longer we go, again, most of the people who get sick and die are people who haven't been vaccinated. Most of the people in which these, you know, viruses are replicating are people who haven't been vaccinated. And that's still a sizable, if not the majority of the world's population. So as long as that, and this is a global threat, and these sorts of travel restrictions aren't really going to do anything substantial to slow, you know, to really stop it. So our best hope is to get everybody, you know, as many people as we can vaccinated as quickly as possible.
Dr. Kartik Chandran, virologist, microbiologist at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine.
The big question, whether Omicron can sneak past the vaccines. Now, that could create major problems.
University of Minnesota epidemiologist Dr. Michael Osterholm talks with WCCO's Paul Douglas about what we know and what we don't about the vaccines and the importance of getting shots into arms in Africa and elsewhere.
We know that there are millions of doses of vaccine that are in South Africa that have not been used over recent months, and it has to do with vaccine hesitancy, just as we see in this country. So converting a vaccine into a vaccination is not simple, whether it's in the United States or whether it's in a lower middle-income country. And we have to put much more emphasis on how are we going to help the population understand that this is their key out. This is the way that we can, in fact, move beyond this pandemic eventually if we have enough people protected. And if that means getting boosters, so be it. But I think at this point, that's the challenge, is we're going to hear a lot of rhetoric over the upcoming days about how we're not getting vaccine to low and middle income countries. Some of that is true. We have to take that to heart and do what we can to get it there. But some of it also is really helping these countries try to deal with the same challenges we're dealing with. How do you get people vaccinated?
Well, I've been triple vaxxed, and I realize that doesn't make me bulletproof, but hopefully if and when I get this thing, it'll be mild symptoms. I won't suffer from long COVID and erectile dysfunction and all the brain fog. I have enough brain fog without catching COVID. But I'm what tangible advice would you have heading into the holiday season? It's Hanukkah, Christmas, 26 days away, in terms of changes in behavior, changes in travel. What would you suggest to listeners with Omicron in mind?
Well, you know, you said something very important here just now in terms of looking at what we can get from boosters. And for the vast majority of people who have been fully vaccinated who have boosters recently, they do have a very high level of protection. The problem we have is that some people, even with the boosters, will only have limited protection. For example, our studies show that for those who are solid organ recipients, people who have received donations of kidneys and other organs, have only about a 50% protection against severe disease and death with this virus, which means that, you know, they can do everything possible in terms of vaccination, but it's still going to be important to protect them as a bubble of the people around them. So, you know, and we have other what we call comorbidities, conditions where, you know, the vaccine is not going to be as effective as it is for otherwise healthy individuals. So in those family settings, it's very reasonable for them to say, I only want people here who are fully vaccinated. I only want people here who have their boosters that are eligible to receive them, because I'm trying to do an additional layer of protection beyond that of just the vaccine itself. And I think we have to honor those, and we have to help support families do that, even when you have family members who you love, who you want to be with, who would insist they're never going to get vaccinated.
Mike, are you doing okay?
Yeah, you know, it's a never-ending situation here. You know, some days I'm not so sure that, you know, my English Channel swimming days prepared me for this fully. You know, that was where you just kept going till you get out. Here, I don't know when you're going to get out or where.
Yeah. Well, there will be an end at some point.
Yep.
Dr. Michael Osterholm, appreciate the update. Be safe
out
there.
Thanks, Paul. Take care.
The U.S. and other countries have now banned travel from countries in southern Africa to stop Omicron from spreading. But is it too late?
Yeah, what good will these restrictions actually do? Dr. Joshua Michel is Associate Director of Global Health Policy at the Kaiser Family Foundation. So, Doctor, does it make sense to have these travel restrictions from other countries, but, you know, still allow your own citizens to come back in if they just visited there?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's a spectrum of different approaches to travel restrictions, from an outright ban where you don't let anyone come in from the regions that you place the ban on. That's the approach that some countries have taken, like Japan and Israel, in fact, already in the face of this new Omicron variant. But other approaches would be selectively picking some countries that where you don't want people to come in. And then there's what the U.S. is doing, which is selectively picking a group of countries and then only denying entry to some of the people coming from those countries. So invariably, it's going to be less effective at stopping the importation of a virus that can be carried by anyone. And so there, whether you argue that it's better to stop some cases when it already might be circulating here in the U.S., or whether it doesn't provide any benefit at all, I think people come down in different ways on that. But it's certainly not going to prevent the virus from coming here to the U.S. if it's not already here.
Yeah, even the testing system we already have in place for coming back into the country that we mentioned 3 days before, well, I could be negative 3 days before I leave and then get on the airplane and be walking around here 2 days later shedding virus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And the other thing is, you know, what's concerning in part about this new virus variant is that it may evade some of the immunity that we have, even vaccine-induced immunity. I mean, we don't know yet, but if that's the case, then you're having different rules for vaccinated versus unvaccinated travelers makes less sense. So it might be that a vaccinated traveler would be perhaps a little bit more likely to carry this virus variant compared to other variants in the past. So that differentiating by vaccine status might not be. But there's a lot more to learn on that front, but that's certainly a concern.
So what should a country do? If you were in the president's shoes right now in the White House, what would be the best course of action for this country?
Well, there's got to be a balance struck between what is helpful in terms of public health and what is too disruptive in terms of international travel and trade. And one of the problems that we're facing is that there are so many unknowns with this variant. We don't know what level of protection we should be taking. Maybe it turns out that this is highly problematic in terms of its higher transmissibility and its ability to evade immunity. And that would mean that greater restrictions might be asked for, but we don't know for sure. So there is some level of, well, let's take some precautions and hope they're having some effect here. I think that, you know, given the situation that we have, it's likely that this variant is circulating in a lot of places. So the approach of increasing vaccinations, making sure everyone who is eligible to get a vaccine booster gets a booster, and increasing the other public health things that we already do to prevent transmission. So testing, contact tracing, and masking and reducing exposures is going to go a long way. It's going to go hand in hand with any travel restrictions that we put in place, because one can't work without the other.
Yeah, I mean, this should also be a sign that there should be way more plentiful testing than there is currently, because we've had time to work on that, and it's still not everywhere it needs to be. And then more sequencing, right? Because this can't be viewed as like South Africa's fault. Maybe they just found it first.
That's right. Yeah. And there's a lot of countries every day now announcing that they've identified cases, many times cases that have had no travel history, which means that there's likely community transmission in a lot of places around the world right now. So having a geographically specific travel ban is making less and less sense over time. But yeah, having a genomic sequencing is critical here. And it's surprising in some aspects that the U.S. hasn't identified the case already, but it's also because we don't do the genomic testing to the extent that other countries do. We test we sequence under 4% of the samples that we could be sequencing, and that's relatively low compared to other countries.
Yeah, and you're right, but why don't we? I mean, we've spent so much money. You know, we keep reading about the billions and billions and billions that the federal government has distributed because of the pandemic, and a lot of that money going toward things like testing and tracing and things like that. Why aren't we at a level that the UK is at, that South Africa is at?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of reasons, a complicated patchwork of states and local jurisdictions which are in charge a lot of this, whereas the UK government has a more centralized approach to this, so they can, it's easier for them to implement you know, something that is consistent across the entire geography of the country. But yeah, we've fallen down again and again on some of the basics here. So we don't have access to cheap rapid tests that people can take at home, whereas in the UK people get those for free and can test all the time. We don't have the genetic sequencing that we would like to have. It's been ramping up. You know, the money has gone to increase the percent, because we were under 1% of samples that were sequenced, you know, months ago. So it's improving, but it's improving much too slowly given this pace of the variants.
Dr. Joshua Michel, Associate Director, Global Health Policy at the Kaiser Family Foundation.
Coming up after a short break, can Omicron defeat the latest COVID treatments? Merck and Pfizer hoping for approval of their COVID treatment pills soon. The goal is to save lives and keep people out of hospitals.
But will those treatments work against Omicron? Dr. David Boulware is an infectious disease physician and scientist at the University of Minnesota Medical School. He's been working on his own clinical trials of potential COVID treatments. So, doctor, let's start with what we have, and then we'll get to the pills that are on the way. These antibody treatments, are they going to have to be adjusted if they end up not working as well?
That certainly could be a possibility. That fortunately, most of the monoclonal antibody therapies do have two antibodies targeted towards different parts of the spike protein. And so if there's a mutation against just one, hopefully the other antibody will still work.
Let me ask you also about the pills that we mentioned in the lead-in, because one of the stories that got a little bit buried on Friday because of Thanksgiving, frankly, and also because of the news about this variant, was that Merck announced that after looking over a larger sample, I believe, of people who participated in a trial of its pill, the efficacy that was touted in a press release weeks earlier being, I think, 50% in keeping people people out of the hospital or getting severe disease was down to about 30%, if I'm correct in the way I'm remembering that. So are hopes dimming for that? And what about the Pfizer pill that also, according to Pfizer's press release, was up at, I think, better than 90% efficacy?
Yeah, I think oftentimes when any clinical trial for any condition stops early, oftentimes it overestimates the effect because, like, boom, good news travels fast. And that with a little bit more data, sometimes things come back towards kind of the actual effect. And so for Merck, you know, it was a relatively sizable study. It was 775 people at time when they stopped the trial at the interim analysis. But now they've got data on about twice that of about 1,400 people. And so yeah, things have come down a little bit back towards probably what the actual effect is. And it's still a 30% effect, which is pretty good compared to nothing. I mean, if your comparison is nothing that works, 30% is better than that.
So with those pills and with Omicron, would we expect the mechanism, the process to still work? Is it far enough upstream in terms of stopping the replication that it doesn't matter what kind of variant it is?
Correct. And so that's totally correct. And so this is really, you know, working on the replication of the RNA of the virus. And so it's very much upstream to any mutations in the shape of the spike protein. And so all these would still be effective. Both the Merck drug as well as the Pfizer drug would still be very effective regardless of any variant.
So is that in an odd sort of way? I mean, I know all along all the experts have said, and I'm sure they're right, that it's much more important that people get vaccinated and the therapeutics will be nice to have, but make sure you get vaccinated. But as these variants, and I suspect this is not going to be the last one, come, you know, rolling off from wherever they're rolling off from, will these therapeutics become increasingly more important to have?
I think both are keenly important. Obviously vaccination reduces your risk of getting infected in the first place. And so that's the first step. And then it's nice to have these other, you know, second step, these other backup plans that if you know, you get sick, you have some possible therapy available. And so I think both of them are very effective and both of them are very important.
Have we ordered enough? Do we have the manufacturing capabilities to make enough if we're really going to need a lot of these, worse come to worse?
I think that's a great question. I think, unfortunately, the winter is going to be really kind of rough. And winter in Southern California may be different than winter in Minnesota. But, talking about production of 50 million, doses next year in 2020, what does that mean in the next month or next 2 months? And so, unfortunately, these are not going to be available immediately. And so production will scale up. But I think that if someone's going to say, oh, well, I'll just wait till this treatment that's going to be available next month, that's probably an unrealistic expectation.
Let me ask you the question that I usually ask my own doctor about, you know, some medical finding. And I'll say, well, what's your level of concern as an expert? And what should my level of concern as a patient be? So let me ask you that about this variant. What's your level of concern as an expert? And what level of concern should all of our listeners have as patients, potentially?
Well, this new Omicron variant, I think that, first of all, people have realized that Omicron is a letter in the Greek alphabet. And so that may be the most concerning that people didn't know. But I think the second thing is we don't really know much about this. And so this is spread in South Africa, primarily among young people. And so is it more contagious? We don't really know. The concern is that it did spread in a population that was presumed to have a lot of prior infection. And so a lot of prior natural immunity. And so we've heard about how natural immunity is generally protective, which it likely is against severe disease. But in the population that spread around Johannesburg, the concern is that people still got infected with this virus, even though they'd had prior infection. And so that's a little bit concerning. And how does that relate to vaccination? And people may be less protective of that with vaccination. The booster will certainly help that, certainly. And that's very clear. But it's a little bit concerning.
Even if we don't have major changes because of Omicron, if we go back to winter, which you mentioned a minute ago, I mean, we still have to contend with Delta. So it's probably going to be a messy winter no matter what happens.
Correct. And I think that's the key thing. You know, we've got, you know, 900,000 or 800,000 cases of 90,000 cases of Delta, you know, currently in the U.S. And so if we have one or two, you know, infections with Omicron, the major problem is still the current Delta variant. And so I don't think people need to worry too much, because the concern is still just the ongoing Delta infections across the world.
Dr. David Boulware, infectious disease physician, scientist, University of Minnesota Medical School. Doctor, thanks.
So having talked about these pills, Pfizer's CEO says he has a very high level of confidence that his company's COVID-19 treatment pills are effective against the Omicron variant. He tells CNBC the company could commit to delivering 80 million courses of the COVID-19 treatment. The company requested emergency use authorization earlier this month. And he says there are many unknowns about the variant, but says the treatment pills were designed in anticipation of future possible mutations.
This is an Odyssey original. You can find us on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.